And we're John is just talks about love, 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 love throughout his books, whether it's in the Gospel of John or his letters of John. And so what with our topic today, or the title of the message today, is Let Love Live. Let Love Live. So let's just get started. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 11, let's stand together for the reading of God's word. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Let's go to the Lord one more time in prayer. Lord, I thank you for today, and I thank you for just your love to us. It's indescribable. But it's not unobtainable. And so, Lord, we thank you. Thank you that you have demonstrated your love to us and that you pour out your love upon us each and every day, whether we recognize it or not. Lord, again, we just pray for your presence here. We pray that you would direct me as I preach. Give me freedom. Go with me. Fill me with your spirit. I pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. I just want to make sure I have my notes in place here. So I'm still growing in this area. And if you know me very well, you know that I haven't arrived yet. I've still got a ways to go. And so all of us, hopefully, we are trying to attain to a different level in our maturity in Christ than we are right now. John and Peter, we're going to talk about Peter in a minute, but they're encouraging us to grow in our relationship with God and grow in our maturity. And John says, just zeroes in on this area of love, 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 love. If you don't love, you don't have God in your heart. That's what he says. Like, whoa. It's kind of like, wake up, guys. So they're wanting us to achieve something that is beyond ourselves. It can be achieved, but Scripture tells us that we're to agape one another. We're to love each other just as Jesus loved us. Look at verse 2 again, because there's a little passage there that says, love is of God. Love is of God. Did you know that you cannot attain that on your own? That type of love, because love is of God. It flows from God himself. There's no other source but God, and he's the one who gives us the love from the Father so that we can love other people the way we ought to. I am in the process of drilling a well at my house. John has been helping me try to figure out ways to do that. First, I got some apparatus from someplace. Nope. Harbor Freight. And I attached a little drill motor to an air compressor and was able to go down 18 feet. And then I hit a bunch of rocks. So I got a little portable drill. And I went down another few feet. But these rocks, instead of the drill going through the rocks, it just kind of tumbled on top of the rocks. Like, man. So I got me a drive bit. And I put a drive bit on the end of my pipe. And I started. I got a concrete 5-gallon bucket with a hub on the bottom of it with a long galvanized pipe that goes down through the other pipe. It's about 300 pounds. So we'd pick it up, drive it, drive it, drive it. And every time we'd pick it up about 3 or 4 feet and drop it, it'd go down about a quarter of an inch. So it's like, man, we went down 5 feet driving it. Okay. But we're getting there. Getting there. So I hooked my pump to it. And I started pumping muddy water. And it's like, so I talked to my brother last night. He's drilled a lot of wells. He said, Brad, when you hit the mud, your next place that you hit is the stream. I said, okay. All right. I said, how deep, how thick is the mud? He said, anywhere between 1 and 5 feet. I didn't hear what you said, Glenn. Oh, except in Tillamook. Yeah. So I'm going to get my apparatus set back up. I'm going to put my 300-pound thingy, my Bob, back in there. And we're going to drill some more. We're going to drive some more because it's just a little bit deeper. It's just a little bit deeper. And for us in our Christian life, it's just a little bit deeper, right? Listen to this passage of Scripture in John 7:38. He who believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now, this word belief means to be committed to trust in. But it's not like, and you know what, a lot of time we ask people to give their testimonies. They start with when they received Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, how God changed them, and what happened, and they took what took place. They prayed and asked the Lord to make himself manifest to them. The Lord did so, but sometimes that's where the testimony stops. It doesn't go any further than that. But this idea of salvation and this idea of trusting is a continual thing. It's not just a one-time thing. It's a continual thing and a continual thing and a continual thing. Every day, moment by moment, you have to put your trust in the Lord. Every day, moment by moment, you have to commit your ways to the Lord. Every day, moment by moment by moment, you just have to keep driving and keep driving, only if it's a quarter of an inch a day. Just a quarter of an inch. Just keep driving, keep maturing. We're not there yet. Okay? I'll speak for myself. I'm not there yet. Well, I can speak for you too. I'm not looking at anybody in particular. But we've got to go a little bit deeper. We've got to go a little bit deeper. So does the idea of loving like Jesus seem out of reach to you? Does it seem unattainable? John tells us that it is attainable. And not only is it attainable, but he also says that it should become a reality in our lives. I tell you what, I know I've got to go a little bit deeper. I've got to go a little bit deeper. So the first question, how does one acquire chesed love? We talked about that last week, the Hebrew for God's kind of love. How does one acquire agape love? And we talked about that last week. It's the Greek word for God's kind of love. How does one acquire these? Here's the deal. God already loves you. He loves you like you are. He loves you as a stinker. And he loves you cleaned up. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Turn to your neighbor and say, God loves you. God loves you. You know, when anyone who's had a child knows that when they're children, sometimes they're stinkers, right? And you have to clean them up. Now, they stink in a lot of different ways. But you have to clean them up. And that's what God does to us. We come into his kingdom and he begins cleaning us up. He begins working on us and helping us to become what he wants us to become. And it's not all totally up to us. The Holy Spirit works with us and in us, but we have to work with him. God's not going to just say, sprinkle pixie dust on him and make it happen. That's not the way he works. He works in us and through us and to us, and we have to work with him in order to grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ. So the question is, how does one acquire chesed love? He already loves us, whether you feel it or not. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to buy it. However, you must open your heart to it and receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. He is the source of the love that you want, that you're looking for, that you're searching for. He is that source. And until you experience him, then you're not going to experience the love that God has for you. You're never going to feel it. You're going to keep looking for it. You're going to keep driving for it, but never receive it until you receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. I asked last week, why do people resist the love of God? And there were many excellent responses. I want to read some of them to you. Someone said, people may feel unworthy or undeserving of his love. Another one, some don't want to change their lifestyle. The third one, some may never have felt real love and are afraid of it. The fourth one, stubborn arrogance. Number five, pride is the biggest reason people resist God's love. Six, hurt. A wounded heart can cause one to resist love. Seven, living for self. Eight, they have no understanding of God's love or his love for us. Number nine, looking at the world and all the evil, it's hard to have faith in the love of God. I've heard that. 10, shame, self-hatred, and fear cause people to resist God's love. Number 11, shame, guilt, anger, sadness, and bitterness can cause people to resist. Number 12, some people resist because they see people who call themselves Christians but live like the world. And number 13, self-sufficiency, independent spirit. I can do it myself. I don't need God. Good responses. I appreciate you responding to me. And those are excellent responses because every one of these, you probably have seen people who are resisting the love of God because of one of these things. Maybe you were there. Maybe you're there now. You're resisting God's love because of one reason or another. And you'll never experience God's love as long as you hold on to these ideas in your heart. The second question that we're going to spend the rest of the remainder of the time today on is, now that we've received Christ or received his love, how does one live in it? How does one live it out? Number one, you can't do it without being filled with the Spirit. Galatians 5:22 says the fruit of the Spirit is love. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Those are the fruit of the Spirit. But it starts with love. If you don't have the Holy Spirit filling you, then you're not going to be able to express the love that God has for you and for other people because you're not filled with the Spirit. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but how many of you, every morning you ask the Holy Spirit to fill you so that you can demonstrate the characteristics of Jesus Christ to the world? It's very important that you, because you cannot do that on your own. It's impossible. Did you know that the reason Jesus Christ was able to demonstrate the love of God to other people is because he was filled with the Spirit? That's the only reason. And if you're not filled with the Spirit, then you're not going to be able to demonstrate the love of God to other people either. You're not going to be able to feel, F-E-E-L, him. Sometimes my Mississippi gets between feel and feel. You know what I mean? So, yeah, thank you. So you need to get filled up with the Holy Spirit so you can demonstrate that to other people. The second thing is, let's just say you are not filled with the Holy Spirit. Then what you need to do is desire the Holy Spirit, and you need to petition the Lord for the Holy Spirit. You need to pray for the Holy Spirit. You need to ask him to fill you. Otherwise, you're going to be filled with self, right? You're going to be filled with mud and murk and rocks and dirt and clay. But you're not going to be filled with the Spirit. And a clean river of life is not going to be flowing through you. Man, Jesus made some wonderful promises to us, but we oftentimes don't receive them and walk in them because we're clogged up. God wants us to experience the river of life flowing out of us. Flowing out of us. And we cannot do it under our own power. It has to come through the Holy Spirit. So here's what I suggest. Wake up in the morning and ask him for it. What's an idea, right? He says, you have not because you ask not. Luke 11:11-13. You fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So wake up in the morning and say, Father, I'm your kid. And I'm asking for a great gift from you. You said I could ask you for this gift. Would you give me the Spirit of love today? Not self-love, but a love for other people. Would you give me that love? What do you think Father would say? Oh, man, I've been waiting for you to ask me that. Ask him to fill you with the Spirit. He said, if you ask, by all means, I'll give it. But the problem is we don't ask. And sometimes we don't think we deserve it. Another thing is we have to make sure our heart is clean. He can't fill a vessel that's dirty, right? If we've got rocks in our vessel, if we've got mud in our vessel and we don't want to pour that out and get rid of it, he can't fill us to overflowing, to this river that flows of life-giving stream. He can't do that because we've still got rocks in our vessel. There's rocks in the well. So ask the Lord to forgive you, receive his forgiveness, determine not to walk in that anymore. Receive the Holy Spirit and walk in the river of delights. Man, don't you want to walk in the river of delights? There's just nothing better than being in the river of delights. There's nothing better. There's nothing better. Forgive quickly. We've talked about this, but we just got to keep hammering on it. Forgive quickly. keep short accounts. I received a letter this week. You remember I went to a retreat with a Union Gospel Mission a month or so ago. So I received a letter this week. Hi, Pastor Brad. I hope you and Cynthia had a pleasant journey home. I will never forget that evening of our camping trip. I've walked around with unforgiveness for 45 years. My brother-in-law, who is a pastor, told me that, Barry, you have to a hole inside of you, until you deal with it, you will continue to relapse. I knew he was right. I just didn't know what or how to fix it. Thank you for listening to the Holy Spirit and helping me find freedom and honestly feel so much different, like I had a life sentence pardoned. So don't let offenses pile up. Keep a short account. If you do, if you don't keep a short account, you're going to do things that you will later regret. If you hold on to that unforgiveness, you can't help but hurt someone else. You've heard the old saying, hurt people, right? If you hold on to that offense, you're going to hurt someone that you love very much. And so I'm just encouraging you, get rid of those unforgiving areas in your life. Unforgiveness poisons the river that's supposed to be flowing through us. D. Old wounds can create unloving behavior. Did you know that just forgiving someone doesn't heal the wounds? Did you know that? You can forgive, and you can forgive daily, but until you bring those wounds to the Lord and say, Lord Jesus, will you heal me? You may not be healed of the wounds because you've never asked him. Jesus said, you have not because you ask not. Do you want him to heal your wounds, or do you want to keep packing an infectious wound in your heart? What do you want him to do? If you want him to heal you, a great idea would be to ask him. Ask him and wait. Ask him and wait. So, Lord, and here's the deal. You can tell whether you're healed or not because of the things that come out of your mouth. Huh, Lord, I don't think I'm healed yet. I need you to heal me. I really do. I don't want to walk in this unforgiveness. I don't want to walk with a wound. I don't want to walk with a limp anymore. I want to be pure. I want to be whole. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. Open my heart to you. Heal my broken, wounded heart where Pastor Brad has stepped on it and stomped on it. Open your heart. Trust him. Trust. Did you know, and this is a sad thing, and I have hurt people before. And I'm sure I've hurt some of you in here, and so you have been so great to forgive me. Yeah. And it just, and I'm so grateful for your forgiveness. But I hear stories quite often of pastors who have hurt individuals. And those individuals carry that with them. And they can't trust God because they couldn't trust the pastor. Or they can't trust God because they couldn't trust their dad. Because they project the same ideas and feelings upon God that they had towards their dad. They can't call him father because of the way they were treated at home. And I get it. I get it. I get it. But Heavenly Father is a different kind of father than you've ever experienced on earth. I guarantee you. And you need to open your heart to him because he's the only one who can heal the wounds that was created by those who did not receive you and did not love you the way you should have been loved. Last week, as I was getting ready to preach, Jeannie whispered in my ear, there's somebody here with a broken heart. Well, I was not in a good place last week. And I think probably she felt my heart. Because I knew what I had made a decision that we were going to close the school. And it just took the wind out of me. We only had three students sign up, register. We had two teachers that we were responsible to pay. And I'm confident that we could have continued to pay them. We would have done that. But it's like, Lord, it's been my experience when we're in the middle and center of your will that things begin to thrive rather than just survive. And so, and it was a hard, 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 hard decision. And I wrestled with it. I'm still wrestling with it. It's tough, but my heart was sad. My heart was sad, and I still have grief over that decision because not only did it affect our two teachers, but it affected three children and their families. And there was one particular family that I was looking so forward to the Lord doing some marvelous things in their life. And it's like, it was just tough. And it was, I just had to make a decision, and I'm sure I hurt some folk, and I am so sorry about that. Have you ever invested your heart into something and it just did not pan out? And that's the way I felt. It's like, man, and I know, here's what I know. What I think I know. We'll check with the Lord some more on this. I'm confident he told us that one day we were going to have a school. I'm confident he told us that. But now I'm confident knowing that I'm not to be a part of it. Okay? Because I get so... I'm a one-track guy. You know what that means? I do well in my lane. And if I try to get in somebody else's lane, it's not good. So this is what I know. That when we start again, I will encourage it. I will embrace it. I will promote it. But I'm not to be a part of it. Okay? That's not my wheelhouse. That's not my gifting. So, yeah, exactly. There are others who can take that. And in this process, you know, Lord, if you give us, you remember Abraham saying, Lord, if you, Sodom and Gomorrah, if you give us 50 righteous folk, then, Lord, if you give us 40, Lord, if you give us 20, how about 10? Lord, would you just give us 10? And he couldn't find 10. And Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. And it's kind of like that with me. Lord, if you just give us 7. Lord, if you give us 5. Lord, if you give us 4. And it did not seem like the Lord was doing what I anticipated. And it's like, took the breath out of me. So I don't feel like I was my best last week. But I appreciate your prayers, and I appreciate the humility of Janine and Mindy, and now they're looking for new work. And would you pray for them that they find work that God has for them? It was a difficult, difficult, difficult decision. But did you know that Jesus can heal sad? Did you know that he can heal a broken heart? Did you know that he can heal grief? Some of you have been carrying grief for 30 years or more. because of a loss. Did you know that God could heal that? Did you know? Have you ever asked Him? Grief can stop the well from producing. One more. And I'm not finished, but one more. E. Love and fear cannot coexist. Love and fear cannot coexist. So either you're going to love or you're going to fear. 1 John 4:18, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. Let me read that again. Very profound. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. So let me ask you a question. What's your greatest fear? Sorry? Loss, okay? Some people might say the inability to pay their bills. Others may say dying is a fear of theirs, or death is a fear of theirs. Sickness. We fear a lot of things. So here's what I would suggest. Pray for God's perfect love, because perfect love casts out fear, right? And if you understand God's perfect love for you, you understand that He has your back. Look at this passage of Scripture in Isaiah 52:12. For the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rear guard. Did you hear that? The Lord is going to be in front of you, and God's going to be behind you. And if He's in front of you and He's in back of you, what have you to fear? Man, this is good. This is good stuff. He's going to be in front of you. He's going to be behind you. He's going to be at your side. Man, if God is with you, there's nothing to fear. In this passage of Scripture, Matthew 6:32, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. And if you read on, He said He provided. Matthew 6:33 says, and it's not up here, Jesus said, you can be provided for. Don't worry, don't be anxious, because if God provides for Solomon, and God provides for the roses and the flowers of the field, also He can provide for you. We turn there at 6:33. I want you to listen to this. It says, seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. All these things will be added to you. You can trust the Lord. Perfect love casts out fear. We'll share the story, and I'll close. Years ago, 40 years ago, I was doing a revival in The Dalles, Washington. The Dalles, Oregon. I see it if you were listening. Close enough. Across the river. The Dalles, Oregon. And that we did a service Sunday morning, did a service Sunday night. I was doing revival. I was actually doing the music at the revival. I wasn't preaching. And the next morning, the pastor tells me that there had been a witch at the service Sunday morning and Sunday night, and we needed to go visit her. Well, man, I put my armor on quick. You know, I was like, I don't know what we're going to get into. But through the course of the week, she kept coming, and we started doing ministry to her. Now, I had never done any kind of ministry with demonic or anything like that. I'd heard about it. I'd read about it. But I didn't know. That was a new ball field to me. And so she would come in the evening after revival services, and we would minister to her. And I was kind of not just a little bit anxious. I was actually kind of fearful, but I didn't know what we were getting into. Oh, let me tell you this. Before I go on, this has nothing to do with the story, except you need to know this. So we went over to visit her. We prayed in the office Monday morning, went to visit her, and I just felt impressed to pray the armor on. You know, in Ephesians chapter 6, I felt the impression to pray the armor on. And so we went over there and knocked on the door. She invited us in. She had all these satanic emblems around the house and things. And she says, I see you have your armor on. Gee, and I'm thinking, did I get it all? Did I get it all? Did I miss my shoes? Make sure I get my shoes. I was freaking out, man. Well, the other people that were with me, the pastor and the evangelist that were there, they had no more clue about doing this stuff than I did. And so, man, I was making phone calls and, what are you doing? What are you doing? And nobody would help me. Yeah, exactly. You got that. And so she came in, you know, she'd sat at the back of the church. We went in, started ministering to her. And as I was ministering to her, this overwhelming love just entered my heart. And the fear was gone. It was incredible. The perfect love. Perfect love. Perfect love casts out fear. Did I manufacture that? No. That was the Holy Spirit that did that. Isn't that incredible? That's the Lord. And He wants to do that for you in whatever fear you are walking in today. He wants to do that for you. So I have a few questions. If you've never received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you've never experienced His love. And before you leave today, I want you to experience His love. I want you to know that. I want you to experience it. I want you to feel it. I want you to embrace it. But the only way you're going to do it is if you receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. The second thing is, if there's any unforgiveness in your heart, you need to address that with the Lord. And the third thing is, if there's an infectious wound in your heart that needs healing, the Lord can heal that. We're going to have an invitation here in a few minutes. And anything you need prayer for or help with, I'll be here at the front. Matt will be back. Others in the congregation can help you work through some of these things. And did you know that there's disobedience can also dry up the well? Did you know that? And so if there's some areas of disobedience that you're walking in, I would encourage you, get that right with the Lord. Just say, yes, Lord, I'm going to do what you've asked me to do. I'm going to quit doing what I shouldn't be doing. And I'm going to walk with you. If fear has stolen your love, then I want you to take authority over that. Command it to leave and receive perfect love, because it will cast out fear. Lord, I come before you today. I'm going to ask our worship team to come. And Lord, I just want to thank you for your demonstration of your power and your love today. Thank you for your word. Lord, what a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful God you are. And so, Lord, as even before these musicians sing, I just pray, God, that people would begin to respond to your message, that they would begin to open their heart to you so that you can do whatever you've planned for them to do. They're not here by accident today.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, you brought them here. And I pray that you would do the work that you have desired to do in the hearts and lives of each person here. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.